Take your business further with the smart and flexible American Express Business Gold Card. You can earn 4 times points on your top 2 eligible spending categories every month, like transit, U.S. restaurants, and gas stations. That's the powerful backing of American Express. 4 times points on up to $150,000 in purchases per year. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/businessgoldcard.
Welcome to the First Cut Podcast. I'm Rick Gaiman, and today we are breaking down all the storylines for the Travelers Championship, TPC River Highlands, and we're going to get our expert picks. Now, here on the first half of the show, the front nine, so to speak, it'll be myself and Kyle Porter, and then for the back nine, after the break, we'll bring in Mark Immelman and Greg Ducharme for all the expert picks and matchups. Additionally, we're on YouTube. Oh, I forgot. We're on YouTube. I should look at the camera. Give us a follow over there. Make sure to subscribe. First Cut Golf Podcast. We'll tweet it all out. We're trying to build it up, do something a little bit different. Leave us a comment. I'll check it out. We'll work some into the show. All right, let's jump into it. Kyle Porter, what up, guy?
Another day, more golf. On to Cincinnati. On to the next one. It's weird because every week feels like, and it doesn't feel like it is major championship like field, and so it's not difficult to get back up for the next week. You know, sometimes we're covering this stuff. It's June, July. You're like, wow, we're doing Rocket Mortgage. I guess we do have Rocket Mortgage coming
up. Yeah, be careful.
But like, I don't know. Every week has been a lot of fun, and every week we've gone to cool courses so far. So I'm excited about this one as well.
This is actually the first event back that's in its original spot.
Yeah.
So there is some normalcy, I guess, for at least this week, but then we won't get another one in its same spot until the end of July, I think, at the 3M Open.
Yeah. Is Memphis in its original spot as well?
No. So it's pushed back. It was originally July 2nd to the 5th, will now be July 30th to August 2nd. So 3 or 4 weeks back.
Oh, because they flipped it because of the Olympics.
Right.
How weird is it that there's no Olympics this year? That feels like, I remember seeing that report and it feels like a year ago. And I was like, whatever, they're not going to cancel the Olympics. Like, that's dumb. And here we are. No sports for 3 months. And
then
no
we came Olympics. On here. I think we had this conversation on here. We were like, you know, it would be a really bad idea. A global event and fly in people from 200 countries would be like a terrible idea right about now. What is interesting about the Olympics? So like, it probably wouldn't have hit me until like the week of the Olympics. I'd be like, oh, cool. The Olympics are happening. Like, this is great. But now that Justin Rose gold medal gets to live for
another year.
always announced, the 2016 Olympic champion, this guy, he gets to live on for at least another year.
I joked during, remember when he was, when was that, 17, when Sergio won the Masters, there was a group at the top of the board after the third round. And there was a bunch of different guys that, you know, were trying to win it for different reasons. I said, Sergio, so he could get off the zero major mark, get his first. It was, I think Rory was maybe up there to complete the Grand Slam. And then I said, and Rose needs to win it so people will stop talking about his freaking gold medal.
Yeah, because that's like his last big accomplishment. I mean, he obviously won at Marion, which was what, 13. And then I guess he's won a couple of times, but like that gold medal is like top line resume for this guy.
Yeah, and it's unfortunate that it happened after the U.S. Open, because winning a U.S. Open at Marion to me is far superior to winning a Olympics at Rio. By the way, I don't know if we're supposed to be talking about this, but there was a report out about the Ryder Cup being bumped to 2021, which means you could have Olympics, Ryder Cup, and President's Cup all in the same year. Is that overkill? I mean, is that?
Oh, wow.
They'll probably bump the President's Cup, right?
Why? Okay, I think maybe, but what would the argument be to bump the President's Cup?
I just don't know that you could get the Brooks Koepkes of the world up for two team events, right? Like, I just don't know that Brooks is like, yeah, I'm in. Let's play Quail Hollow. Let's play Whistling Straits.
Interesting. Producer Jacob flying in saying maybe the President's Cup to 2022. So
yeah, that would make sense. And I think that's what happened back on 9/11 when they bumped the Ryder Cup from, what was that, 01 to 02. I think the President's Cup just went to from 02 to 03. So that, I mean, that would make the most sense, but that just kind of hit me in a year in which, you know, or a season, I guess, in which we're going to have seven majors, you could have all three of those events as well. I mean, the next, we've talked about it, but the next 12, 13, 14 months is going to be just ludicrous.
Yeah, and if you didn't bump the President's Cup, you know what you'd see? You'd see a bunch of guys who are just like, ah, you know what, I'll pass on this one, and you'd get like the 12th through 24th best Americans on that team or something like that.
Colin Morikawa would definitely be playing in one of those events.
You'd get defending Travelers champion Ches Reavie on the team. Kyle, by the way, this is a fun little game I play with my wife where I go through and try to name all like the what tournament was it and who won it, and like as far back as I can go.
Yeah.
This is the one I always forget. This has been purged from my memory that Ches Reavie won a golf tournament in the last 365 days.
Whenever Doug Bell on HQ today said that Ches beat Zach Sucher, I was like, what?
I was so confused. Yeah.
We were talking before we came on. Remember when Ches was a lock for the Ryder Cup team for this year? He nearly wins the U.S. Open, plays with Koepka final round, wins this event, just a mini heater. I mean, on fire. And I don't think he's really done anything since then. I don't have his results in front of me, but it hasn't been great over the last year, I don't think.
Yeah, he's basically missed half the cuts of tournaments. I think he's played 23 since the win, two top tens, and like half of them are missed cuts. So but is it not good.
I mean, isn't that like the story of so many guys' careers? They'll get hot for two or three weeks, maybe you know, rip off a win or a couple top tens, and then they're just normal. I mean, they just play to keep their card. Like I think we don't realize. I don't know. I think we just think, or I sometimes think of everybody like JT of just trying to win every single time out. It's like, sometimes guys are just like trying to finish top 125 and get to the next year.
Or also like, if you do snap off and get that win and you get your card for two more years, like that's such a big deal. Like that yeah. One win, obviously to keep your, you know, for a lot of these guys to keep their job and to have some security is so massive. You can't even, I don't even know how to describe it.
How many wins does Ches have? Does he have two or?
Well, the two that came 11 years apart, right? So he
I think that's it.
2008 RBC Canadian Open, then 2019 Travelers. He has a Korn Ferry Tour win, two Korn Ferry Tour wins, and that's it.
Yeah. I mean, I think like two wins for him in a PGA Tour career, maybe three. That's a pretty good ceiling, no?
Yeah, and he's been around for a long time. I mean, he's been around. He's kept his card. I mean, like literally, the fact that you can even win a golf tournament 11 years apart is impressive, because a lot of guys can't even stay on tour 11 years apart.
And you see him out there. I followed him and Koepka for most of their final round at Pebble last year during the U.S. Open. And you're like, what? I don't understand how these guys are playing the same sport, right? It's like Koepka is just a freak. And Ches is – I mean, Ches gets them – I mean, he's good to his credit. Like he plays really well. He plays really smart, but it's just a different game than Koepka's playing, than DJ's playing, than different guys like that.
You might know the answer to this. Okay. He wears the Arizona Diamondbacks logo on his hat. First of all, I've seen other guys wear like MLB logos. Like what's going on with this?
Peter Malnati.
Spencer Levine did it for a bit, I think. Like
Spencer Levine and Ches might, like, they might be long lost brothers or cousins or something. I could envision that. Does he get like does he get like a suite at the Diamondbacks park?
Jacob says yes. Jacob says PGA. Okay, here's an article. PGA Tour pros endorse MLB in exchange for tickets. I guess that's a pretty good gig.
I was kind of joking, but I guess that's a real thing.
All right, that's enough about Ches. So top Of the 11 top players in the world, 10 of them in the official World Golf Rankings are here. The only one not playing is Adam Scott. Again, 3 weeks in a row, major-like fields. You know, we kind of mentioned this last night, and I think Greg fielded the question. Is this the last week that we see like a huge field, or because they're gonna take a week off before Memorial, right?
Yeah, I think Memorial is gonna be sick too. Like I think. Yeah. This might be the best one too. 33 out of the top 40 in the World Golf Rankings playing. I think we had Colonial was like 16 out of the top 20. I don't have a number on last week, but 33 out of 40 is crazy. You know, one of the things that I was thinking about is I know why Adam Scott's not playing. What is Cantlay's deal? How come he hasn't been playing?
I don't know. Okay, so we had that deviated septum surgery. I don't know how long that keeps you out for. I literally know nothing about it, but that extended his shutdown. But it is shocking that we are now in the third. I thought last week would have been a good spot for him to come back. I don't know. I don't know where he's been.
He played after that, though, didn't he? I thought he played Players or...
Did he play Players?
Maybe even Arnold Palmer. He started somewhere, I'm pretty sure.
He definitely did not play the Arnold Palmer. He might have played the Players. I can find out in a second.
I'm almost positive he did, but I just thought it was weird that he, of all people, was on the – I mean, he doesn't play that much to begin with, but I don't know. It was like he was on the Tiger schedule of, you know, we'll see it at Harding Park or something like that.
You are absolutely correct. He finished – so he played Genesis, had the surgery. He was actually in a tie for fifth at the Players when they shut it down. So, I mean, this is probably a good spot for him.
I bet Cantlay wins a Players before the end of his career, by the way. Oof. There's a walk-off call right there.
That's pretty good. I like it. Rory McIlroy headed back to TPC River Highlands. Didn't play it last year, but had a T17 that would have been 3 years ago, 2017, T12 in 2018, and still at risk of losing that number one in the world spot if Jon Rahm could go out and win this thing.
Yeah, you know, he's gone to some interesting places for him because these are not courses that, you know, and he said this after Harbortown. He was like, I remember why I don't come here, you know. And I mean, part of it is because it's the week after the Masters. And he was like, my idea of decompression is not going to play Harbortown. But I think stuff like this is actually good for him because I think it puts shots in his hands, it provides him shots that maybe he doesn't normally have to hit. If he's going to, I always go back to Bridgestone. It's like, well, you're not hitting that shot at Bridgestone, right? You're not hitting that shot at Torrey or wherever. But it gives him an opportunity to hit some shots that he doesn't normally have to hit, which is good for him, I think, for places like a US Open or like sometimes a PGA Championship, although that one's gotten longer and longer over the course of his career. So I think it's great for him. And I think it, you know, whether or not he's winning, it doesn't really bother me that much. I think it's good for him and players like him to, you know, figure out some courses that maybe have some more nuance or are a little bit uncomfortable for them. Cause I think it makes them better players.
Yeah. I like that. As far as official World Golf Rankings go, Justin Thomas, Brooks Koepka, Webb Simpson could all reach number two. DJ and Cantlay could get to three. Patty Reed could get to four. Xander, Bryson, Rose, and Leishman could get to number six. Finau, eight. Gary Woodland's ceiling would be nine. And then Sung Jae, we'll talk about him in a second. Louis Oosthuizen could get to number 10. Any of those, I mean, the Leishman one is shocking to me. Any of these interest you?
Are you prepared for Webb Simpson, number two player in the world?
Yeah.
That's crazy, dude. I mean, I was thinking about this as it relates to Spieth. What's our – you can do a time stamp there.
13:28.
I was thinking about this as it relates to Spieth. I mean, Webb was like 92nd in the world 3 or 4 years ago. And I think that if you're – and it's different, right? Because the thing that got him was the putter. So it's different for sure. But the bounce back's been unbelievable, and it's just at a time in his career where you don't, you don't see it that often. I mean, we got the Jimmy Walker stuff. That was different though, because Walker wasn't great when he was younger. Right. I'm amazed by what Webb has done, and the fact that if he wins this week, he'd be number two in the world behind, I mean, Rory and Webb, the two best players in the world. Like, there's a legit case that that's true.
So, perfect segue, my friend. Total strokes gained since the start of 2019, so the start of last season. Rory McIlroy has gained 189. Webb Simpson is second, 159. Justin Thomas, 154. Sung J.M., 152. Helps that he plays every single week. Patrick Cantlay, 145. That's your top five.
That's like, if I did a power rankings today, that might be my top five, you know? Again, like, you're looking at different windows of, like, it depends on when your window is, whether it's last five events or last 5 months or whatever. Where did you get those numbers, by the way? Was that your database?
Yeah.
So Rory's 189, Webb is 159.
Correct. Yep. JT Rory, 154, Sungjae 152, Cantlay 145.
The crazy part about the Rory thing is it's not like he's playing weak events.
Right. And he doesn't play, I guess, as much as, I mean, Sungjae, obviously. Webb plays a little bit more, but the Rory number is astonishingly good.
Yeah.
And then Webb being in second is also amazing.
But it matches up with, like, the way I think that I've started to view him. And again, I think it's hard when you've kind of ingratiated yourself as a certain type of player and we think of you a certain way. Oh, he won that U.S. Open. That was weird. That was kind of a one-off and, like, the Birdman thing. And, right.
Yeah,
you know,
like what I remember most from that.
The shank at the 2012 Ryder Cup at Medina. All these different things. And all of a sudden, you have to think about him differently as, like, the second best player on earth. I don't know. Every time I say it out loud, it's crazier.
Let's talk about Sung J.M. here for a second. Misses the cut last week. I have another good stat for you here. So he lost 4.4 strokes gained putting in two rounds last week. By far the worst putting performance of his career. The previous worst putting performance, last year's RBC Heritage, in which he lost 3.7 strokes putting. There's a chance Sungjae just hates these greens, can't figure them out at Harbortown, and he just wins this week.
Yeah. that would delight you, wouldn't it?
Oh, and such. If I can go Webb and Sungjae back to back, like, my two favorite players on the face of the earth, that would be so good. He's that good.
Off the top of my head, I wouldn't be able to think of it, but his putting profile, he's not a bad putter. It's pretty average, right? Like, maybe above average. Where's he at in terms of?
Gains 0.36, so that would put him, what, like 60th or something off the top of my head? I can find out, but something somewhere around.
That sounds right, which if he sits there, like if you just stay there, 50th, 60th, maybe you pop up to 40th, drop down to 70th, you're going to win with the way he hits it.
Yeah, he's 42nd. 42nd in putting, even better.
Yeah, there you go.
Other things for this week. We talked about Phil on HQ. I don't have anything to say about Phil. I love Phil in every way. Phil's great on Instagram. Phil's not good at golf anymore.
Yeah. And I think we're going to do this weird thing for the next two or three years of, like, oh, he hits bombs and he hasn't finished better than T60 for 3 months. Like, it's going to be awkward. It always is at the end of your career. The thing I said on HQ, what's the path to a win for him? I mean, is there one?
I mean, what did he do at Pebble? It would have to be a very specific situation or a specific course, but I don't know, man. Like, the game is really in shambles. And like, this is certainly not a knock. Phil is one of the X number of greatest players to ever grace the game.
Yeah,
but he's 50 years old, as he should be at the downturn of his career. And there is no path when you are significantly below average in 75% of the stat categories. Like,
right.
You would need, it's not like you just need to run into a hot putter 1 week. You need every single thing to go right for 4 days.
I do think, and I've said this for the last 5 years or whatever, I think there's a scenario, there's a world in which a 54-year-old Phil has 2.5 hot rounds at Augusta. and you're like, okay, because the driver doesn't get him into trouble there. The field is smaller and he's really smart around there when he wants to be. He's also not smart when he wants to be. And I think there's a world that exists in which that is in play. But the people that are like, oh, US Open still on the table, you're like, yeah, that was over at Marion. Like that's a wrap. Like that was the last one. I mean, I don't know that I would have said that at the time, but looking back, you're like, that's it. Like he's not gonna win a US Open. That's not even on the table. And I think whether he wins again is on the table. I really do, which sounds harsh to say about somebody who won, was that last season, Pebble?
Yes, so it would have been like February 2019, I think.
Yeah, the last season 14 years ago. But I think the Augusta thing could happen. I think that's real. But everything else, I don't know. It's going to be – I hope it's handled with care because there's a way in which it could just not go great over the next 3, 4, 5 years.
Does he ever play on the Champions Tour?
That's a good question. I don't know. I mean, I guess I would say yes, but not anytime soon, right?
Right. Yeah. It'll be a while. If he does, it'll be a long time from now.
I mean, Steve Stricker plays on the Champions Tour, and, you know, Stricker's not in Phil's world, but he's a really good player on the PGA Tour. I don't think it's like this. I don't think there's like a stigma of like, oh, if you're playing on the Champions Tour, you're terrible. But I don't think it's going to be 51 or 52-year-old Phil. I think it might be later on in his 50s.
Yeah. We'll keep an eye on that. Bubba Watson, three-time champion here at TPC River Highlands, played well at Colonial. I don't know if he's like a low-key guy to watch because he's so inconsistent. Like I feel like he's just as likely to eject and miss the cut than he is to win. But like I don't have the stat in front of me, but we all know that like 70% of Bubba's wins are at three places. They're at Augusta, they're at what's this one out here, Riviera. PGA West, yeah, or Riviera, and here at TPC River Highlands.
Yeah, which is weird because I mean, to those, I guess Riviera and Augusta you would say have some commonalities, but TPC River Highlands, it's like, why is he good there? Like I don't know. You've looked at the courses. Is there like a common theme, like a common thread there?
No, I can't figure it out. The one thing that, there is this combination between Augusta and Riviera, at least, where sometimes you get these, like, especially at Augusta, it's really pronounced where you don't get a level lie. Like you never get a flat lie.
Yeah.
And there is this, idea, and it's pretty widely shared because of Phil Mickelson and Mike Weir, that like lefties around Augusta and the non-flat lies kind of find a way to, it's just like more natural to them. I don't know if there's a little bit of something to that to Riviera. I have no idea what it is to River Highlands.
Yeah, especially because it's like 6,800 yards. So you're like,
right.
That's not really Bubba's wheelhouse. I don't feel like, he seems like an easy guy to fade this week, right? With how good this field is. And I don't know. It just doesn't feel like Bubba right now.
Yeah. So like in the fantasy world, he's going to be one of the most popular guys and he's just as likely to miss the cut as he is to like finish in the top 10 here. I will not be investing in Bubba Watson.
Yeah.
But I want to find out who you are investing in, Kyle. It's time for your expert picks. Let's start. And this is very early in the week to be asking you to do this, but let's start with your top 10 lock for the, what are we at? Travelers.
Well, I've gone Rory the first 2 weeks. So I went Rory at Colonial. He went T32. I went Rory at Harbortown. What did he finish there? Like T24 or T40 or something like that? T41. So I'm switching. I'm going Bryson. Bryson's been playing great. Couple top tens. He's had a decent history at this. I mean, he's finished, I think, in the top 10 at this event the last couple of years. This was the location of, remember, what was the thing that he was using on the greens that he got in trouble for? The compass gate?
Yeah, where he like laid it told him like the slope and stuff, right? Was that it?
Yeah, I think that's right. And like, that was when he like went to war against the USGA over the side saddle putting and the compass.
Oh, right. Oh my God. I completely forgot about the side saddle putting. That's how intense this guy is. That was a thing for so I forgot all about that. Oh my God.
We're on like our fifth software update to the Bryson machine. The side saddle putting was like the Apple II computer. I mean, that was a long time ago.
Oh, this is so good. Yeah. Okay. I'm going to watch those videos later. There's so many good ones.
Remember he tried it out at the Shark Shootout? I think he tried it out at.
That sounds right.
And then he brought it to the tour and the USGA was like, no.
He held his other arm. Like, it was so crazy. Oh my God. How is this not a, I completely forgot.
And that's like the 11th craziest thing he's done. Like that he's tried on the PGA Tour.
Oh man. All right. I'm going to be in a Bryson rabbit hole for a bit, but let's get your sleeper for this week.
Yeah. I had Joel Damon. Joel Damon, I think even, I don't know, people that are looking for sleepers, it's not like, man, I want to be on Joel Damon this week, but he's been playing pretty well. You know, he's got a couple of, I think he's played eight rounds. Well, he played Colonial and Harbortown. Seven of them were 70 or better. He shot 75 on Sunday at Harbortown after 63 on Saturday. And he's playing solid golf. And he's somebody who it seems like has figured out some consistency. And look, like, I don't know, in a field like this, it's almost easier to go with like a Matthew Wolf at 150-1, even though he's playing not very well. You're like, okay, well, the talent I know is there. With Damon, he kind of has to have the week of his life talent-wise to beat a field like this. But so I don't know. Maybe you go with him more like a sleeper to finish in the top 10. I don't know what the number is there. But I went ahead and picked him for my sleeper to win the tournament at 80.
Yeah, he's 80-1, so he'll probably be like 6-8-1 to finish in the top 10, something like that. So certainly well within his range of outcomes. And Kyle, it's time for your pick to win, but I'm pretty sure you gave this to us like 5 seconds after Webb Simpson won last week. HQ.
I did. And I was on this after the third round at RBC last week because he was hitting it unbelievable. And I wish he hadn't putted well on Sunday because I would be even more excited about it. But Justin Thomas has been hitting it so well over the first two events. And he finally made putts on Sunday. I still haven't reconciled the fact that he shot, 63 with two bogeys?
Yeah, that's crazy.
That is crazy. And I can't remember. I think he was 4-under at this event last year, like T30 or something like that. But he's been playing great. And you want to pick guys like that are hitting it really well and just haven't putted all that great. I think he has a big week.
So if you didn't claim him 5 seconds after the event last week, I probably could have gotten to JT as like my pick to win this week. I really do like that. It feels right. So, you know, spoiler alert, he won't be my pick to win, but I think I'll be invested in him. Here's a little fun fact, Kyle. First time in like a while that Rory has not been the betting favorite.
Yeah, I saw that. Well, I wonder what was the last one? It had to be...
I just had it.
2019 Masters, Koepka.
Man.
PGA, maybe?
Oh, man.
It had to be a Koepka.
I don't have it. I thought I had it handy. Yeah, Koepka's, that sounds right.
Koepka's odds have gone really up and down, I feel like, over the last 15 months. Because he was like the outright favorite for a lot of these majors. And now, I mean, last week he was like 30-1. And same as DJ, I guess. So I don't know.
Yeah, it was wild. Okay, so the first event since apparently the 2019 Zozo.
Okay.
JT was the favorite going into that. And Rory was right behind him, apparently.
And then Tiger won.
All right, KP, much appreciated. Here's what we're going to do. On the other side, we'll bring in Greg Ducharme, will bring in Mark Immelman, will round out our expert picks and put a bow on the Travelers Championship. But first, we're going to take a quick break and hear a word from our partners.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey everyone, this is Jimmy Conrad, your favorite former U.S. men's national team player and the host of the Call It What You Want podcast. And I'm here to tell you that Vuori is a versatile clothing brand that speaks my language. It's inspired from the coastal California lifestyle, just like me. Its products stand the test of time, just like me. And also just like me, it endeavors to inspire others to live vibrant, healthy lives. Vuori gear is designed to look great in everyday life while also being perfect for any workout activity. I'm currently rocking the men's Sunday performance jogger, and don't let the name deceive you. You can wear these babies any day of the week and in any situation. I'm talking going to the office, running errands, the gym, whatever your heart desires, because Vuori is an investment in your happiness. For our listeners, they are offering 20% off your first purchase. So get yourself some of the most comfortable and versatile clothing on the planet at Vuori.com/sports. That's Vuori.com/sports. Not only will you receive 20% off your first purchase, but enjoy free shipping on any U.S. orders over $75 and free returns. Again, go to Vuori.com/sports and discover the versatility of Vuori clothing.
All right, welcome back. We teased on the other side that it was going to be Greg Ducharme and Mark Immelman joining us for matchups, but Mark couldn't make it, so it's Greg and it's me and you, Greg.
Mark's a busy man. Buddy. I understand. I'm just happy to be here.
Mark's a busy guy. Yeah. I don't know. He's probably jet-setting somewhere right now. I don't know what he's up to.
Right. He's got more important things going on. I mean, he's probably, I don't know, covering a PGA Tour event, something like that.
Yeah, probably. All right. Well, here's what we're going to do, man. We've got matchups, as we've been doing. I've got a set of head-to-head matchups that we're going to go through. We're going to take a side, and we are going to crown a weekly winner. Now, you and I, we might have to partner up on this because Mark won week one. Kyle won week two. We got to get off the schneid here.
It was not a great start. I mean, we're doing okay, like some narrow defeats, but look, a win's a win, and that's all I really care about. So I'm ready for a win this week, even if I need you as a partner, even if it's a best ball format.
Yeah, that's what we should do, best ball us versus right. Those guys. All right, well, let's jump into this. So the first one, the first one is super interesting. Brooks Koepka -125. That's a pretty significant favorite. Over Webb Simpson at even money. Spoiler alert, Greg, not sure if you saw, Webb Simpson won last week.
He did win, which you know what that means. He can't play well again.
He can't
right?
possibly. He used it all. He used it all last week.
This is such a hard one because I love Brooks this week. I think Brooks is really motivated, really like looking to play well, which gives me a little concern. But, man, it seems like such a Webb course. So I'm going to let you go first. No, you know what? I'm going to go first here because I don't want you to influence my choice.
Okay.
I'm going to go with Brooks. I'm going to stick with my guns. I'm thinking great week for Brooks. Great week for Webb too, but I think Brooks might win this week.
I do really like Brooks this week. However, I'm going to take Webb here.
Because well, that's good for us in baseball.
Yeah, I know. Well, that's true. We've got a winner here for sure. Okay, so when I do these head-to-heads, I like the more consistent guy. And Brooks is a little bit more volatile now. He might win this thing. He might just run away with it, and that'll be the end of it. But Webb always gives me a chance, so I'm going to take him.
Can't argue it. I like it.
This is another massive line, I feel like. Rory McIlroy -50 versus John Rahm at +120. That's big.
It is big. It is really – it's really big. Where's your confidence level with these guys? I feel like I've been waiting for them to kind of get going here, just like us in these matchup games. I'm not really sure where to put – I want to say that these guys are both going to have good weeks, but I don't really know.
I generally don't get too worried about guys like this.
Yeah.
I mean, Rory, only by his own standards, are a 41st and a 32nd – good results, right? We only grade him on wins and top fives. But the way that those rounds went, like he basically only played like, I don't know, five bad holes at Colonial and maybe eight or nine at Harbortown, and the rest were pretty good.
Right.
John Rahm's been a little bit more quiet, missed the cut at Colonial, just kind of like meddled around in the middle for a while. I think it's a huge number, but I think it's Rory for me.
I kind of feel it's one of those things with matchups are it's hard to take odds because it's a one-on-one match. So there's like a almost like a limited advantage for just taking the money and the odds. You kind of have to take the guy you think is going to win. So I think I'm going to go Rory here too, just because I know how talented he is. And as you mentioned, there's volatility in like one bad round. And I do think it's a good venue for him, just like every event. It's better than the last two venues for him. So I think I'm going to go Rory here too. But man, I don't feel extremely confident with that by any means.
And that's a good point about the venues. Like the last two are places he's essentially never played. And there's probably a reason he's never played them, whether it's scheduling or whether he just doesn't think they're going to be a good fit. He's played River Highlands before and played it well.
Right. And what did you tweet out about RBC Heritage? He played Harbortown once before he was a winner on the PGA Tour. I mean, yeah. A lot has happened since then.
Yeah. He played it in 2009. He had zero PGA Tour wins. Like, that's crazy. This is a good one. Man, there's so many boppers in this field. There are so many boppers in this field. Justin Thomas versus Bryson DeChambeau, both minus 110. I'll just tell you, I'm going with Bryson. I'm laser focused. Like, I love both of these guys. I think both of them could easily win the golf tournament. I'm just so invested in Bryson, I have to pick him here.
Yeah, I understand. You've been invested in him for a long time. I'm going to go the other way. Once again, I'm going to go with JT here. I think JT is ready for a win. He finally gets the putter going. That's huge for him. He's been hitting it so well. The wedge play is off the charts. This is going to be a wedge fest. I trust JT's wedges more than Bryson's, even though I like Bryson's. And with the way the putter was rolling last round to RBC Heritage, I think JT's kind of sick of the cold putter. And I think you're going to see him on some bank grass greens really get it going.
Yeah, I'm terrified that JT just runs away with this thing, because I'll probably have all the Bryson side of these like situations, right? Like in fantasy when you can only play one of them. Like I do think JT could win this. Justin Rose, minus 110 versus Dustin Johnson, minus 110. Rosie looking better, certainly since the restart. DJ trying to work his way back into form. Where are we going here?
How many guys can you pick to win? Because Justin Rose is definitely on my list. And DJ, I'm definitely optimistic. My interest level in DJ is on the rise after the match, at the start to the year. Like, all these things with DJ have been kind of left you scratching your head. But now I'm feeling a little more confident about it. But Justin Rose, I mean, this guy's one of the best players in the world, continues to be. He was, I think, top five or top six strokes gained TV green the first 2 weeks back with his old new equipment. So I'm going to go pretty heavy Justin Rose here. I probably feel most confident about this one than any other. And I'm in a place where I'm betting against Dustin Johnson. That can't be good.
I think what's interesting about both of these guys is, I don't know if they've never played here, but neither has played here in the last 5 years. So that's usually my cutoff of like, if you haven't played here in 5 years, you might as well have never played here. Unless it's like, I don't know, Augusta or something like that, right? And it never changes.
This one hasn't changed a whole lot either, but yeah, I understand your point.
So I too am just going to side with Rose here. And this is kind of the tiebreaker here is I like the way he grinds. So this is weird. Like Jordan Spieth does this too, obviously to different results, but I always think Jordan Spieth cares about every single shot, like whether he's in it or whether he's not.
No doubt.
I also think Rose is kind of the same way. I mean, we saw it at Colonial. He'd like miss a 3-footer, make a bad bogey or make a bad double, and he bounces back. Like, he just is he's a professional. He's like a consummate professional. And I want a guy to go to battle for me in a head-to-head matchup that I know he's going to grind for 18 or hopefully 72 holes. So
he's like a show pony with kind of like an underdog mentality where he's always going to scrap, always going to grind and claw. He's a red line. He's redlining it all the time. So love Justin. It's a great point.
Three-time champion, Bubba Watson, even money versus Xander Schauffele at minus 125. Xander, obviously disappointing last week, Bubba playing better, going to a place he's won three times.
Rick, is this a trap?
It feels like
a trap.
I think it is a trap, quite honestly. Yeah.
Xander, I'm worried with Xander about the way that the Charles Schwab Challenge went. I'm a little worried about like that. That's hurt. That hurts. But after last week, did he shake that off? Bubba is a three-time winner. It's a Bubba course, and Bubba's playing well. It's so obviously Bubba. I'm gonna go against the grain here and go Xander. I think Xander maybe is over that hurt. I'm gonna take a chance here just because it feels like a trap.
There are some situations in which a line talks to you, and this one is screaming like this is a trap, right? Because all signs would point to Bubba, and when Vegas lays a -125 on Xander, it must be much bigger than that. So give me Xander.
I'm going to agree with you here.
This one's interesting. Morikawa -110, Patrick Reed -110. Can I give you, I just got off HQ and made the case that Morikawa is, I didn't say he was going to miss the cut, but I said he would be like my surprise guy to miss the cut. And my case is this, didn't play well on the weekend last week, specifically lost four strokes with his irons. He's now lost strokes putting in three straight rounds, which is not that unusual for him. But remember, he came on this podcast and he told us he found something with the putter at TPC Sawgrass. He carried it over into Colonial and he's now potentially lost it. The final thing about Morikawa is this is the third straight week he's going to play. The only other time he's played 3 weeks in a row, he played 4 weeks in a row, and all four of them got progressively worse, which I'm nervous about.
It's interesting. Like, how can a guy that's 23 be tired after playing 2 weeks in a row? Like, you got to figure the guys have probably been playing every day for 15 years.
Probably.
But at the same time, I feel like maybe it's not fatigue. Maybe it's pressure. I feel a rising pressure with him. And it's like, it's kind of like what he mentioned on the pod, what we talked about yesterday, how there's like this idea, like I got to hang on to the cut streak. And I hope it's not in his mind. It may be. And when you are thinking about the cut rather than thinking about winning, suddenly you end up, this is what Brooks Koepka said, suddenly you end up around the cut line. So it's very interesting. I have a strange feeling about Morikawa. I think it's an interesting miscut. So I'm not going to pick Colin Morikawa here. I'm going to pick Patrick Reed, who I did invest in last week, and he let me down. So I guess playing the odds, he's probably going to have a good week this week.
Yeah, I'll take Reed too, officially. So that'll be a round of Reeds. This one is interesting too. Jordan Spieth -125 versus Gary Woodland. Let's be real here. This has to be, I guess, because Spieth won here in 2017. Gary Woodland is significantly the better player right now.
Significantly. I think this is the bet of the week. We'll get to that later. So spoiler alert, it's for me. I'm going to go Gary Woodland all day. I think he had kind of a last week. I wouldn't say a bad week. He just never got it going. And in a tournament like that, you can shoot under par every day and get ran over. And that's what happened to him. I don't think it's a sign that his game is in rough form. But there are plenty of signs that Jordan Spieth is in rough form. I have no trust in him, and the volatility of Jordan, I'm definitely going to use against him in this one. So I'm going to go Gary Woodland heavy here.
Yeah, you nailed it. I don't have anything else to add to that. It's Gary Woodland for myself as well. Matthew Fitzpatrick -110 versus Tony Finau -110. This is probably the one I had the most trouble with because we talked about this. Finau has so little win equity, obviously, right? I mean, Puerto Rico Open Championship. But on the plus side, he's like always around. Like, you know, he's probably going to finish in the top 25 a lot. And if I'm just picking another kind of random golfer of equal skill set to match him with, like, you'd think the Finau side would almost always be a good side to bet. So I'll take Finau just because he's a little bit more consistent. But only in a head-to-head would I be comfortable with it.
I can't get my finger on the pulse of Matthew Fitzpatrick. I don't really know what to do with him. I don't know what kind of course suits him. I don't know where his game is. He seems to be pretty highly rated by a lot of the guys out there. He's well-respected for sure. He's made a Ryder Cup team. I know he's a very good player, But I don't know where he fits. I don't know. Is this a good venue for him? Is it not? So Finau is extremely consistent. I do think this is a good venue for Tony Finau. And it's the kind of place you never know. He may be able to get the putter going. If you wanted to make a charitable contribution, betting Tony Finau is probably a tax write-off as a contribution to a casino. So I don't know. I wouldn't bet Finau to win, but I would bet him here in this matchup.
Okay. Victor Hovland, minus 110. Sergio Garcia, minus 110. If Sergio can do anything like he played tee to green last week, he probably runs away with this matchup. So it's just really a matter of if we think he can do it. I do like Sergio's chances here. As much as I love Victor, what I saw last week was flashes of brilliance. And when you show me that, I'll take it. So give me Sergio.
Yeah. This is a hard one too, because I really like Hovland this week, and I like him. I mean, what a bright start. Do you compare Hovland and Sergio yesterday?
No, we compared Sergio and Joaquin Niemann.
Oh, it was Niemann. That's right. It's kind of similar. I mean, yeah. Hovland's kind of similar, so I could see that too. I'm going to go Sergio here as well. I think he's got something going with the putter, the way that he's hitting it right now. Second baby. There's a lot to like about Sergio. I'm gonna ride Sergio. I'm gonna agree with you here.
Ian Poulter, who was your first round leader last week, minus 110 versus Scottie Scheffler, who late withdrew last week and did not play, obviously, minus 110. I'm gonna take Scottie Scheffler. I was dying to play Scottie Scheffler last week. I think I had him written up like ready to go as maybe a top 10. And then he came in with that late WD, and I had to yank him out. Last time we saw him at Colonial, he was great, great ball striker. He was terrible on and around the greens. He is not that bad. I really, really like Scottie Scheffler.
I don't have a lot of confidence in Ian Poulter finishing out tournaments. So I have some definite questions about him, where his game is. And Scottie Scheffler, on the contrary. Now, I typically don't like guys who are really struggling around the greens. It's a very frustrating way to play golf, and it can lead to kind of some down weeks. But I think Scottie Scheffler, it was an anomaly at Colonial, that around the green performance you mentioned yesterday and again today. So I'm looking for Scottie to rebound quickly, and I'm going to agree with you once again. This is quite a streak we have going here, Rick.
I just saw that. We have not disagreed since the first one.
Was it really the first one?
Yeah, I went Webb, you went Brooks, and we have matched since. I just saw that, like, as you were
every
saying.
Every one?
Yeah, every single one. What are we doing here? We're not playing best ball, right?
Well, if we are, we're not doing very well.
Yeah. All right, last one, and this is Sungjae Im and Abraham Answer. Both are minus 110. We'll just jump to this, because this is my best bet. This is so clearly Sungjae Im, and that is not even me being, like, a crazy homer for Sungjae. I love Abraham Answer. He's great. He played awesome last week. This is another pendulum swinging too far, because Sungjae missed the cut. And now, like, he is infinite. Like, I don't even know how to describe this. Sungjae is so much better than Abraham Answer. Abraham Answer is so good, but this is not close.
It's interesting, because these two players in Australia at the President's Cup were the best players on the international team. They were both kind of Ernie L's anchor. They were both these are the two players that make you think the internationals have a chance at beating the Americans at some point soon. So I'm very interested with this. I'm dying to take Answer just to disagree with you once, because I feel like I'm just chasing you around. I know we've alternated the order a couple times here, but I'm gonna go with Sungjae Im. I agree. I think it was an emotional defeat for Abraham Answer. You know, there was Justin Ray sent out a fascinating tweet about Abraham Answer. There were 38 times a player with a lead or a co-lead has shot 65 or better in the final round on tour since 2003. And 37 of them, they have won. Abraham Answer was the first one to lose. And that that hurts. I'm sorry. I know he's tough, but that hurts. So I'm gonna go with Sungjae Im here.
All right. So that was my best bet. Just to recap that, your best bet was Woodland over Spieth. Yeah. Is that correct?
That's right.
Okay. So Woodland over Spieth and Sungjae over Abraham Answer. Greg, can I offer you $1,000?
Yes.
All right. Well, You don't even have to put up any of your own money if you'd like to win $1,000, because that is where CBS Sports has you covered with our very own golf prop game available at cbssports.com/golfprops. That is cbssports.com/golfprops. The link is in the description. You can check it out there. And we have questions for every single round. Log in, answer the questions. If you have the most correct, you get $1,000 each and every round of the Travelers Championship. Terms and conditions apply. And I have a question that will appear on the sheet Thursday, round one. You're getting a first crack at it right now, Greg, okay?
Okay.
Will Brooks Koepka finish round one inside the top 10?
Yes.
Ooh, interesting.
Great question. Yeah, I think he's going to come out ready to go. His little brother's playing. I don't know.
Yes. He Monday qualified.
And I think there's a little bit of a – like it just adds a little bit for Brooks. And he's the kind of guy that needs a little something. He needs a little chip. Maybe he's got a little side action with his little brother, and he's going to go out there and play a really good round. So I'm a firm yes on that.
This is weird, and without looking up any data – I feel like Brooks is a closer. Like, I feel like in the same way that he doesn't really care, you know, or tells us he doesn't really care about regular events. Oh, it's Thursday. I don't really care. You know, what he tells holes 5 through 14 are boring or something like that, that one time.
Yeah, he has.
Like, maybe Thursday's boring, but Friday's a little bit better. Saturday's great. Sunday's all. I don't know. So I'm going to say there is a chance Brooks Koepka wins this thing, but I'm going to take no. He does not finish inside the top 10 after round one. Producer Jacob, BK finished T57 last year after the US Open. Finished T57 here?
Yep.
Yes. Okay, got it. That was a course history note.
Yeah, remember what happened last year. He came in second at the US Open with a chance on 18. He went 72 holes with a chance to three-peat the U.S. Open. I mean, the next week across the country is an emotional letdown. It doesn't mean he doesn't care. It's just you're trying to peak for that major championship, and he did, and then there's a natural exhale. It's not a sign of course, he doesn't like. It's not a sign of anything other than it was the week after a U.S. Open. Brooks Koepka is on the rise, peaking right about now, maybe for this week. I'm going to predict six under round one for him.
Oh, that might actually, you might be onto another prop. We won't spoil that one, but check that out for Thursday. Those props will probably be loaded into the system. Maybe by the time you're listening to this, I don't know. cbssports.com/golfprops. Check it out. Time for the expert picks. To recap, because we got Kyle's before the break. He went with Joel Damon as his sleeper. He went with Bryson as his top 10, and he went with Justin Thomas to win the whole dang thing. So, Greg, this is your turn. We'll start with our sleepers. I chose Doc Redman, who actually, he was 130-1. I think he's already 200-1. So, like, you're getting better odds as time goes on here. Fourth in the field in strokes gained, tee to green from Friday to Sunday last week. If he can keep any semblance of that going, I'm trying to get him top 10, top 20 type situations. Certainly unlikely that he wins the golf tournament, but I do like the upside.
Yeah, there's a ton of upside there. So not terrible. So starting with sleeper, mine's JT Poston, two top 10 finishes to start. And he's hitting the ball nicely, but the key for JT Poston is that putter. And he is 8th in strokes gained putting on the year. So I really like this kid. I think he's an underrated player on the PGA Tour. And last I checked, 66-1 on JT Poston. So I think you're getting great odds on a great player.
I like that. I like that a lot. Top 10. So I borrowed Justin Thomas here. Kyle's pick to win. Justin Thomas, I took him in top 10. I just love him. I mentioned this at the top. It's one of these situations where I could very easily see him winning this golf tournament. I think that, this might be my spoiler alert. Him and Bryson are like the two best players in the field or have the best chances. So I took JT as a top 10.
Maybe we may have hinted at it earlier. But I'm going to go with Justin Rose as my top 10. Here's the problem. I'm going to go out of order here. So my winner and my top 10 are the Justins, Rose and Justin Thomas. I think they could both win, but I'm going to say Justin Rose gets the win. Justin Thomas is the top 10 lock for the week for me.
Okay. I'm glad you said that. So now we can talk about this, because I didn't want to spoil your pick to win. I was going to say I borrowed your pick to win as a top 10, but I didn't want to spoil it. So yeah, I mean, obviously love all of those guys. I'm taking Bryson. I've just committed to this. I think that this is a stat. Yeah. I mean, this is a stat I threw out on HQ. I actually think there is a case to be made that he's defying the odds by not winning yet. His strokes gained is so good. The top five guys in strokes gained this season, they've accounted for 6 wins already. Bryson is second and has 0 of them. Like JT's got 2, Webb's got 2, Hatton's got 1, Rory's got 1. Like it's almost illogical that he hasn't won yet.
Yeah.
And it's coming. It is coming.
He knows that stat.
I don't know.
He might know it. He might know that. See, the one. Well, who am I to say? How am I going to say anything to you, Rick? You picked the winner the last 2 weeks. It's a great pick. I should have copied it.
Well, we'll see. I hope he proves me right for a third week in a row. But this is going to be a good one. Another great field, a great course. This is up in your neck of the woods, right?
Close enough. About two hours from me. But yeah, I've been there. I played it. It's a great spot.
Is this the closest? No, maybe Winged Foot. What's like the closest stop for you?
Definitely Winged Foot.
Winged Foot.
Winged Foot. You're talking 15 or 20 minutes away.
Yeah.
And then it might be 18 on the GPS. Been there. Okay. Depends on traffic.
And
Liberty National is not far. It's on the other side of the city, so that's about an hour. And then you got some Long Island courses that are, anywhere around Westchester. If you're in the Westchester area, that's definitely the closest.
Yeah. I'm like an hour from Torrey and an. Of course, depending on traffic, an hour from Riviera. Those are probably the closest, I guess, for me.
Pretty solid list.
All right, Greg Ducharme, really appreciate it. But as we always do, make sure to follow Greg on Twitter at TheRealGFD. I'm Rick Gaiman at RickRunGood. We'll be coming at you all week, so stay glued to the feeds. This has been The First Cut, and we'll catch you next time.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic? And conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.